Thank you, Thomas. This morning we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11, we're going to begin in verse 1. We're going all the way through 44, so buckle your seatbelts and hold on. We've got a lot of verses to get through. But this is one of my, probably one of my favorite stories in Scriptures. And there's a lot. I love all of them. Don't get me wrong. But I just love kind of the staging, the setting, the situation, everything that goes on, the final outcome, and the future potential testimony of what happened here. And it's the story of Lazarus. And it begins in verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' And when Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' And these things he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke this of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.' Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go that we may die with him.' So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.'" Verse 24, "Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection and in the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world.' And then, when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, 'The teacher has come and is calling for you.' As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were there in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose quickly and went out, followed her, saying, 'She's going to the tomb to weep there.' Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" Verse 35. If anybody ever has a hard time memorizing Scripture, you can memorize at least one verse in Scripture. And it's this one. Jesus wept. Two very simple words that I think sum up so much of who Jesus was. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some have said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind and have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, groaning himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, this time there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe in me, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me because of the people who are standing by. I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your mighty power. God, we thank you for who you are. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and open our minds. Speak to us today. Help us to apply this where we need to in our lives. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Now, see, we've met Mary and Martha before, all right? We know about them in Scripture. Jesus was at their house, and Martha was the one busy working diligently to serve Jesus, while her sister Mary kind of sat around listening. Now, Martha didn't like that. My sister, I'm working, and she's just sitting here listening to you. And she's like, yeah, that's what she's supposed to be doing. That's a paraphrase, by the way, of the actual Scripture, in case you didn't realize that. Now, we don't know for sure what Lazarus had. We just know it was sick. But it must have been bad, or else the sisters probably wouldn't have sent word to bother Jesus. They knew it wasn't going well. And when they sent word, I love this, this is true humanity in motion. They even used a little guilt to get him to come, didn't they? Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Jesus, if you love him, you'll come. It's basically what they're saying, right? He whom you love is, Jesus, please come. Now, the first thing I want us to understand today, the first takeaway from this is they had it right because the best place to go for help is where? Jesus. If you've got a problem, if you've got a need, there is no greater place than to go before the throne of God, and that is straight to the arms of Jesus Christ, especially when it's something dramatic and life-changing as the loss of a loved one, especially when it is an earth-shaking thing like death. Jesus is the only one to go to. There's no greater place. You can go to friends. You can go to wise men. You can look in books and Scripture and all these fun, wonderful sayings and everything else, and none of them work in that moment. We know that. We know people mean well and people say things. And some of the stuff we say drives me nuts. We've experienced it. You lose someone, you lose a child, you lose a spouse. Well, God has a plan. Well, I know God has a plan, but this part of it really stinks in my life right now. I don't need to hear that. But thank you for your concern. That's how we really feel. You know, Mary and Martha are not happy at this moment, but they knew who could do something about it if they could just get him there. Now, this does speak a little bit to their depth of faith, because Jesus didn't necessarily need to be someplace to do something, did he? We've seen other miracles he's performed, and he wasn't even in the same town with the person. So they could have gone, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Just say something so he can get up, please. But say, come, Lord. They knew Jesus would want to know, so they sent word, and Jesus already knew. But yeah, he'd have wanted to know about Lazarus being sick, wouldn't he, and in his humanity. He loved these people. They were friends. They were disciples. Just like we do, we want to know if somebody we care about is sick. If somebody in the church is sick or hurting, we want to know these things, don't we? I hope we do. But they also believe that Jesus could do something about Lazarus' illness. His illness. At this point. So they sent for him. Now, to me, verse 5 and 6 are one of those funny reads as you read it through Scripture. Because verse 5 tells us that Jesus loved this family. Love Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And then verse 6 immediately says, but when he heard he was sick, he stayed put. Wait a minute. Now, I got a phone call at work that my mother was being taken to the hospital because they believed she was having a heart attack. Now, I love my mother. And as soon as I heard it, I made a phone call and said, I got to go. I packed up as quick as I could. I called my wife and said, we got to go. They said, I'll go. And we left. We had to get there. We had to do whatever we could to get out of town. We didn't hesitate. We didn't wait. I locked the doors to the place I was working at and said, well, it's just going to have to stay closed until somebody else gets here if we need to. But here, Jesus loved them, and so he stayed put. Doesn't that sound crazy to you? Or is it just me? Why would, if he loved it, why would he do this? Isn't this the question that most non-believers ask? That if God was such a loving God, if God really loved humanity, why would so much stuff happen? Why would he allow something like this to happen? Well, guess what? Number two. God has a plan for your benefit and for his glory. Can I pretend to know exactly why God allowed it to happen the way he allowed it to happen? Can I pretend to explain why anything in my life has happened the way it's happened? Not except to say that, you know what? God has a plan for me to benefit me as for my benefit somewhere down the road, and it may be for the benefit of other people as well around me. But more importantly than all of that, even though I want benefit, it's for God's glory. Because as believers, isn't that what we were to strive for? We're not to glorify ourselves. We're not to pump ourselves up. We're not supposed to, oh, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? No, how can we glorify God? God, do whatever you have to do to bring yourself glory. And if that means beating me up and knocking me down, then do it. But that's not the God we know. He doesn't treat us that way. He loves us. Now, in the grand scheme of things, and to those that ever ask that question, how could a loving God? Well, because we don't understand how God's mind works. See, God sees the entire picture. We sit here in this room right now, and all I can see is the people, the pews, the walls, the lights, the people that are here. I see a camera back there, and I know that there may be people online watching us. But I can't see their living room. I can't see their house. I have no idea what their vision is. Now, they can see a little bit more because they're in their room and they can see us through the camera. But they can't see the whole thing here either. But God sees it all. God can see us here. God can see you wherever you're sitting at your house, in your car, wherever you're at. I hope you're not driving. But God sees the whole thing. He's got the whole picture. And see, his disciples didn't understand the plan either. I'm sure they're wandering around going, if Lazarus is sick, why are we sitting here? We'll keep tea, you know. Martha and Mary didn't understand the plan either. Don't you bet that Mary and Martha sent word, and as soon as Jesus should have arrived, I don't know, they probably didn't have watches back then, but they're looking out of the sun going, shouldn't the master be here by now? What's taking him so long? Number three, Jesus always acts at the perfect moment. Let me say that again. And it's because there's a big word in there, always. Jesus always acts at the perfect moment. We may not see it that way, but God does. Lazarus had to die for Jesus' plan. Now, I want to say something here. I've done where they were by the time they sent message. Now, remember, this wasn't like today. This wasn't a phone call. They had to find somebody, give them the message, and say, Jesus is here. That person had to walk, most likely, because most people that Jesus associated with didn't have lots of money. They weren't riding camels and donkeys all around. Most of them walked everywhere they went. But even if they did have a ride, it probably wasn't a very fast ride because nobody really had expensive horses to fly around on. But we could assume that it was probably a servant or something like that that walked to where Jesus was. Well, when you walk to where Jesus was, it's like saying, hey, Thomas is in High Springs. Go find him and tell him this. Now, High Springs is not the world's largest metropolis, is it? But could you walk right into High Springs and find Thomas right away? Depends on what Thomas is doing. If he's standing in the middle of the corner preaching a sermon and he's got hundreds of people gathered around him, you might be able to find him fairly quickly. But they had to find Jesus. They had to get to him. They had to then get the message to him. And then Jesus would have had to gather his disciples, pack everything up, tell everybody goodbye, and then head that way. You know Lazarus would have been dead even if Jesus left the minute he got the word. He would have been dead anyway. So Jesus staying for two extra days did not cost Lazarus his life. So for all of us that think, well, Jesus, if he'd have just gone, he could have saved him. Jesus didn't need to go to save him. Jesus could have saved him right where he was. He could have spoke life right then, right there, right there, and Lazarus would have woke up. Crossed the miles. Jesus is better than my bell. He can reach out and touch somebody, just no problem. Boy, I showed how old I am, my bell. We were talking about telephones in Sunday school. That's why, you know, Southern Bell, Bell South, whatever, you know. So it wasn't the fact that Jesus tarried for a couple of days that cost Lazarus' life. That was going to happen anyway, even if Jesus had took off. He had to die for this plan to take place. Mary and Martha both knew that Jesus could have stopped what happened if he had only been there. Again, they had faith. They knew who Jesus was. But their faith wasn't as full yet, was it? But Jesus, if only you had been here. Like I said, he did not need to be there. Now, the number of days is important. Four. I've said it before, I believe, when we've talked about this story. But the Jews believed the spirit would stay near the body. The soul would stay near the body for 3 days. I don't know what it did. It just hung out, floated around, watched people come to the funeral. I don't know what they believed as far as that goes. But they believed that the spirit would stay close to the body for 3 days. But after 3 days, something would happen. The body would begin to change its look. It would begin to change color. In reality, decompensation really began to set in on the fourth day, or after three. Especially back then when we don't have things like we have now, these embalming fluids and stuff like that that they use. They use spices, they tried to do things, but it was really to cover just what was going to happen. It didn't stop it from happening like it does nowadays. Nowadays, they've got technology so you can almost, and I hate to be gross, but for those that might be eating breakfast watching, but the reality is you can dig somebody up almost 20 years later, and they don't look all that dramatically different than they did when they were put in the ground 20 years ago. Thanks to embalming fluids and things like that. That wasn't the case here. Now, we know Jesus has already raised people. But you can hear them saying, well, I mean, the Jews even argued, well, wasn't this guy that healed the sick? Couldn't he have fixed this guy? And you can hear him saying, well, if he'd have gotten here, you know, a day ago, even a miracle of raising somebody from dead, the servant, the little girl, the people that saw this have to be going, well, she'd only been dead 5 minutes. The spirit just jumped back in her body. Jesus just happened to be there. Maybe he addressed the situation. We know he can do things with sickness, but nobody can do things with dead people. That's too far. But to wait 4 days, make no doubt about it, there's only one way that person's coming back. And that is the power of God. And you find here that what we also get is we get Jesus' last I am statement in the book of John. And every one of these, I am the door, I am the shepherd, I am living water, I am the light of the world. All of these point to the I am the resurrection and the life. Once you know me, once you see me, he who believes in me will never perish. You will not die. No, that's such a true statement. Our flesh may stop, but we're never dead. It's been 4 days. Four days. I put up three. I'm like Christy. Lazarus has been dead. His sister at the tomb goes, Jesus, it's going to stink if you take that stone away. We love our brother, but you may not want to move it. Now, number four, Jesus is affected by the suffering of his people. It says that he saw them crying, the weeping. He groaned in his spirit. He was moved. Something deep inside him went, oh. And I don't think it was a frustration. I think there may be some of that. But just the sadness. We've talked about it as we've encountered and ministered to other people that have had a loss in their family. And you see the agony that they go through of the loss of that loved one. The sheer distress and distraught nature of and you can feel it. It's oppressive. And we think we suffered, we grieved, but at the same time, we have hope. We know who Jesus is. We know the ultimate outcome. We knew the result of our child passing. It made it bearable. How can those people not? How can they get through this without Jesus? And here's Jesus seeing all of them. And inside him, he's going, this is why I'm here. They don't know. They don't understand who I am. They're not getting it. They just believe. Look what's going to happen. He wept. He cried. He embraced their sorrow with them. Isn't that cool about Jesus? Somebody say amen. Isn't that cool that the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, the one who sustains all life, cries with his people? There is nothing greater, I think, than having somebody who comes alongside and if you're down, will put an arm around you, love on you, and if you need to cry, will cry with you or sit with you. And the reverse is true. There's nothing greater than when life's greatest joys are just overflowing to come along and celebrate and enjoy that with you too, is it? That's our Savior. That's Jesus. He weeps with us. He cries with us. He mourns with us. He rejoices with us. We talked about that, was it last week? For one who is found, there's rejoicing in heaven. How many times has Jesus looked at his people and seen us celebrating the birth of a child, the marriage, things like that, people coming to Christ, and he's got to smile, he's got to enjoy it. And he suffers right along with us. That's the God we serve. He's not some distant, set-apart being that's impersonable. Now, I've got this whole long list, as I'm sure most of you do, of people you really want to talk to when you get to heaven. And Lazarus would have to be on that list. Can you imagine? And we don't talk about it from his viewpoint. We see Mary, Martha. We see Jesus. We see the mourners weeping. And that was one of the things. There were people that truly mourned, but there were also the good Jewish people, the temple people. They were professional mourners. Y'all know that, right? There were people that would come to anybody's funeral and they would sit there. They don't even know you. But they had the ability just to sit there and just weep and cry with you. That's a good gig, isn't it? Just because I'm sure they had lunch after. That's been a thing, you know. So we've seen all this, but the one person, the one perspective we don't get is Lazarus. All we know, he was sick, he was dead. And he lived again. Can you imagine what he was going through? Here he was in his bed, sick for we don't know how long. I'm sure it wasn't a quick thing. It wasn't like he woke up morning and had I don't feel good, and then he was dead. He'd been sick for a little while. It got worse and worse and worse. He's laying there. His sisters are probably fussing over him. Well, no, he doesn't need that. Get him some tea. Do this. Just fine. Leave it, back and forth. And as many people do, as that day went on, as his strength waned, he probably closed his eyes and would rest for hours and hours and hours. And then there was that last day. And if you've been around enough people as they pass, one of the things you begin to learn is, and I don't know how this works, if it's just something God allows people to do, but there's usually a rally moment in somebody's life. And Lazarus probably was sitting there that afternoon and just opened his eyes. There's Mary and Martha, brother. And he just kind of looked at them both. And right before he closed his eyes, he could hear him saying, the teacher's on his way. Jesus is coming. We've sent for him. And his eyes close again. His breathing gets more labored. The sisters know it's not much time left. And he dies. As they begin weeping, as he exhales that last breath of life, he steps into a world we don't see. He hears the tears slowly fade. The world he knew begins to turn black. In front of him, there's a light that shines. And a whole new world opens up before him. He's standing in a garden. And this large hulking figure walks up to him. He says, you're Lazarus. Stay here. He's looking around. The place is gorgeous. It's like anything he's never seen before. The air is crisp. He can breathe. He doesn't feel anything. His body feels great. And he feels like he could, you know, if he had to run, he could run all the way to Jerusalem and back. No big deal. He's just standing there and he's like, but I want to go further. The angel standing before him says, just wait. All of a sudden, appearing in front of him is a creature that he had never seen. That was more massive than this one that was standing in front of him. Walks up to him and he says, Lazarus, my name is Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God. I have a message for you. Your time here is brief. You're going home. And he's confused. He says, but I know I'm dead, right? He goes, yes, you've died. Well, I can't go back. See, if my sisters knew where I was headed, they wouldn't ask that I would come back. Because they know where I'm going. They know I'm standing in paradise. They know I'm here with God. Let me go in with God. Gabriel looks at him and says, Lazarus, it's not your sisters who are going to request you to return. It's the Son of the living God. He is the one who is going to call. Now, on earth, days pass by. In heaven, because he's not confounded with time or confined to it, it goes by like that. They're standing there. Lazarus is just about to make his case. And then somewhere, reverberating through all of eternity, the words, Lazarus. He feels it. He hears it. He knows it. Come forth. He turns, runs right back in to this life. Why? Because his Savior, his Jesus, has called him to return. Now, he may have run out of the spiritual world back into the physical, but he ran into a limited body that had been prepared for burial. That if you've seen pictures, sometimes the hands are by the side, sometimes, just like we do in the nice casket, they're folded up here. But he'd have been wrapped with linen, almost like a mummy. For him to get out of the grave would have required him to hop. No, I'm not going to hop because I'll fall down and hurt myself. As he hops or tries to shuffle out of the grave, Jesus says, untie him, loose him. We don't hear anymore. We know Lazarus didn't live forever. He died again. He went back. Can you imagine his next death, though? Having been there, could you almost imagine every day getting up, is today the day I go home? Can I go home today? Not wanting to run for it because he knows Jesus had called him back for a purpose. Can you imagine the testimony Lazarus had after this day? Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, he healed you. You were sick. I was dead. Who's going to beat that testimony? Not many. Oh, but that little girl, she was dead. No. She had just died. I was dead 4 days. And he called me back. And if you don't get any other point out of the day's message, if there's nothing else that you take away from this, write this one down. Commit it to memory. It's number 5, but it should be number 1. Jesus has the power over life and death. Death has been defeated. Jesus holds the keys. We are prisoners to death no more. He who believes in me shall never die. Those are the words of Jesus. And he proved it again when he went to the cross and was put in a tomb and he walked himself out. See, everybody else that had been brought back to life had Jesus to call them. Jesus has the power over life and death. He walked out on his own. That life is available this day to everyone who hears the word of God, everyone who believes. Now, I don't know where you're at. God does. You may be physically alive, but somewhere inside you're dead. The guilt and shame of your life, the sins that you have, has chained you down into death. Jesus is calling you by name. And he's saying, come. Come out of that grave. Come to me and walk in newness of life. When Jesus called, Lazarus obeyed. Across time and space, from the physical to the spiritual, Lazarus heard Jesus say, come. He couldn't do anything but go. Jesus is calling all of us to something. He may be calling you to life, to give your life to him, to surrender your all to him today. Maybe he's calling you to some kind of ministry. Maybe he's calling you to something else. I don't know. But when he calls, are you ready? Thomas is going to come up here. And we're going to close with a song. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I want you to think about that today. Come on, Thomas. Can you say those words?